Kemba Walker was brilliant. Unfortunately, too many other Celtics were not. Plus, Gordon Hayward gets hurt again, and you'll hear from everybody that spoke after the game here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
It's a Thursday. And the Celtics are going to play the Philadelphia 76ers after a 122-117 loss to the Indiana Pacers in Indiana. And that's where I am. I'm John Corrales. I cover the team for MassLive.com. You can get all of my post-game coverage right now on MassLive.com/Celtics. If you're a new listener, please subscribe to the show. Hope you enjoy it. Please follow my stuff on MassLive.com/Celtics and follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. So, Kemba Walker dropped 44, and he was pretty brilliant throughout most of this game. And unfortunately, too many other guys on the team were not. Jaylen Brown was good, but he fouled out. And he had a career game as far as passing goes, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists for him, but again, fouled out. And that was partly because he had to play with 5 fouls because Gordon Hayward got hurt. So, basically, the story of this game is the Celtics come out in the first quarter, play pretty well, kind of even. Second quarter, they suck. And Kemba Walker comes in late in the second quarter and helps the Celtics keep it within 4 points. Third quarter, Kemba, brilliant. Just monster. 15 points in the third quarter. He was just awesome. And the Celtics looked like they were going to run away with it. They outscored the Pacers by 14 in the third quarter. They went into the fourth with a 10-point lead. Kemba came out with about a minute and a half to go in the third quarter. So it was basically the second unit again for the Pacers. And they went up against a unit that was interesting, to say the least. Jason Tatum, Javante Green was out there, Wanamaker, Enes Kanter. I forget who the other guy was, but it was not good. And neither was Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum had a rough game, to say the least. He had 16 points, but on 4 of 13 shooting, 2 of 8 from 3. He did go 6 of 6 from the line and had 6 rebounds, but the 3 turnovers, and I felt like he had more than 3 turnovers, but maybe because those 3 turnovers were all bunched up in that 2-plus minute stretch at the beginning of the fourth quarter where, really, honestly, he had 2 of the worst turnovers I've ever seen him throw. Just falling down, throwing the ball to nobody, live ball turnovers that led to layups. Just brutal, brutal turnovers. Ugly. And then he stepped out of bounds. And that was all like boom, boom, boom. And that really, really took the wind out of Boston's sails there early in the fourth quarter. The Pacers bench outscored the Celtics bench. You ready for this? 47-19. 47-19. That Pacers bench led by Aaron and Justin Holiday. Pacers bench outscored the entire Boston Celtics in the fourth quarter, 24-23. So Kemba comes back in and they're blitzing him. They're double teaming him. Some triple teams even. And he has to give up the ball, and just nobody can make a play. Try to get the ball to Gordon Hayward. Try to get the ball to Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Nothing's working. Now, Boston still had a 4-point lead by the time Kemba checked back in. Gordon Hayward gets hit about a minute later. So down the stretch, with Jaylen Brown already having 5 fouls, And by the way, I'm not going to complain about the refs on this podcast. If you're waiting for me to complain about the refs, it's just not going to happen. I don't care. If you know me at all from any long-term listening to the show, I'm just not going to do that, because what I want to focus on is what the Celtics could have done to change the outcome. And yes, I do understand that Daniel Theis fouled Doug McDermott and they reviewed the play for a flagrant just moments after Gordon Hayward got whacked in the face, and there was no review for a flagrant foul. At the same time, everyone in the moment thought that he got poked in the eye, and no one saw. I didn't realize in the moment that he got hit in the face. Whatever. That's that. You want to complain about the refs? That's fine. I'm not going to do it, because I think the Celtics should have done other things. The refs didn't cause Tatum to throw the ball away like he did. He really was sloppy turnovers. The refs got, it went both ways also. There was an offensive foul that could have been called on Brad Wanamaker down the stretch. That wasn't. And if that had been called on Wanamaker instead of a blocking foul, then this game goes a little bit differently as well. And the Celtics don't really have a chance. So that's just not going to happen on this podcast. But Hayward did get hit in the face, and he got hit in the nose, actually, and completely inadvertent. And you could see in the moment that McDermott kind of like put his hands up on Hayward to is like, sorry, man, I didn't mean to do that. And so anyway, Hayward says after the game that he felt dizzy and that he has a headache. And later on, I'm going to play the sound from him and from Jalen and from Kemba and from Brad Stevens to give you a sense of what was said after the game. But he said that he went through the concussion test thing. He's okay now. He still has a headache, but the headache and dizziness is scary. And for a guy who's had a concussion before, you just never know when the next one's going to come. Without him on the floor, it really took away a guy that can calm the offense down and get his own shot and set up guys for clean looks. Without him on the floor, Brad Stevens is forced to put Jalen Brown back in the game with 5 fouls. And then he bites on an up fake from Malcolm Brogdon and fouls out. And he said after the game, and again, you'll hear him say it, he said a stupid foul. And it was a stupid foul. You don't bite on up fakes like that. You've got to stay down on those. You know he's going to fake, especially when you're prone to jumping. And that's a hard lesson to learn or have reiterated in that moment. So he fouls out of that game, and now you're stuck. Now you're playing Grant Williams and Carson Edwards in crunch time moments, because you're down two guys, two of your 4 best guys, and you already don't have Marcus Smart. So 3 of your 5 best guys are out. So a tough situation there down the stretch. And it made it very easy for the Pacers to blitz Kemba, because Tatum was the only guy that was left, and he was having a real bad game. And he missed opportunities in the fourth quarter. There was a 3 with the Celtics up 2 points that he missed, that if he had hit that shot, it would have given the Celtics a little bit more of a pad. There were chances there, but look, Brad Wanamaker had to play down the stretch, and Brad Wanamaker's another guy that I thought played a little too, I don't want to say selfishly, but maybe a little too out of his own element. What made Brad Wanamaker so good over the past few games without Gordon Hayward is his ability to just be solid. And I think early on, especially, Brad Wanamaker was playing a little too outside of his own comfort zone. Now, he did make some plays down the stretch, but that should have been Gordon Hayward. That should have been Jalen Brown. You have to play Javonte Green, Carson Edwards, Grant Williams in those clutch moments because you just don't have any more guys. And as we've said before, that's just not, that's not going to be an effective way to win. So with the Celtics down three of their five best players, you just blitz Kemba and try to take the ball out of his hands in the fourth quarter. I know some things are going to be made about his inability. I've seen tweets about him not hitting certain shots down the stretch or in close games or whatever. But if you go back and look, you can see that the with the Celtics shorthanded, they really did a great job, the Pacers did, of taking the ball out of Kemba's hands and making things very, very difficult. And he did hit some tough shots early on in the game, but he just couldn't do it all against a defense that was very, very hyper-focused on him later on when the Celtics were shorthanded. And even that last look, he got himself the cleanest look you could possibly get. I don't like necessarily that he pulled up from as far out as he pulled up. I was thinking that you get the ball to Kemba or there's some sort of misdirection. Tatum inbounds and replaces, and maybe Tatum gets the last shot. A lot of times in those last plays, the inbounder is the guy who gets the last shot. But it is what it is. He took a shot. It was much further away than he had hoped, and he basically airballed it. So a tough game for the Celtics. We'll come back and talk more about what happened in this game. And then later on, I will play you what these guys said so you can hear for yourself how guys explained what happened in this game. More Locked On Celtics coming up next.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
If you want a statistic, here it is. The Boston Celtics committed 7 fourth quarter turnovers. That resulted in 12 points for Indiana. The Indiana Pacers did not commit a turnover in the fourth quarter. That's the game, right there. The Indiana Pacers came out in that fourth quarter and played great defense, swarming defense. They took advantage of the Celtics not having Kemba. They took advantage of a bad game from Jason Tatum. They took advantage of that whole situation. And they ended up winning this game because they outplayed the Celtics in the fourth quarter. Now, there is a question about, obviously, Brad Stevens' opening lineup in the fourth quarter that I have already spoken about. There's also the issue of, should Brad Stevens have brought Kemba Walker in earlier in the fourth quarter? And there was an opportunity to do so. The Celtics called a timeout with somewhere around the 8-minute mark, 8-something on the clock, and it felt like that was an opportunity to go to Kemba and see if he can close things out. He had come out with a minute 30 before, like I said, a minute 30 on the clock before the fourth quarter, and you wrap around the quarter break, and by the time they had played that, they got to that 8-minute mark, it was a fair amount of rest. I thought that that would be an opportunity that Brad Stevens should have brought Kemba in. And in the next segment, I'll play the sound where he talks about Kemba not going in at that point. But he basically said that he wanted to give him that little bit of extra rest. The thing about Brad Stevens is that he is not necessarily going to compromise a lot of those principles in the regular season, and especially with a back-to-back coming up. And I just don't feel like he was going to feel this urgency to say Kemba needs to get back in there. And I felt that urgency because I'm an observer. And you might have felt that urgency because you're watching that lead slip away. And Kemba, at that point, had had 39 points. And you're like, come on, let's go. Let's get Kemba back in there. Let's stomp this. Let's put this away. Let's, you know, enough with this. You call a timeout, a play earlier than you than Brad did, and you get Kemba back in. Again, Celtics were up 10. Tatum has a turnover, and the Pacers score. Then Tatum has another turnover, the Pacers score. And then the Celtics do score, but after another Tatum turnover where he stepped out of bounds, the Pacers score on an Aaron Holiday shot, make it 96-90. Now, at that point, I'm thinking maybe you call a timeout. So Brad doesn't. Maybe you come down. Maybe he's thinking you come down, you score, make it an 8-point game, and things kind of level off. Enes Kanter misses a hook shot. Then Justin Holiday comes down and hits a jumper. That's definitely where I would have called the timeout, with 9:29 remaining. Wanamaker turns it over. Aaron Holiday steals it. And then Justin Holiday dunks, and it's a 2-point game, and that's where Brad calls the timeout. Now, there's only 16 seconds in between, but the difference between a 2-point game and a 4-point game is substantial enough that you never know. Getting that, just having that extra pad there, you score a couple of buckets, it just feels different. So I felt like the momentum was already shifted, and I would have called the timeout just a tick earlier, either after the step back shot from Aaron Holiday. I'm trying to think, which Holiday was it that hit these shots? After Aaron Holiday made it a 6-point game, I would have considered the timeout. Definitely after Justin Holiday scored. I just think Stevens could have called a timeout a little earlier. And in that situation, I would have put Kemba back in. Now that's, what, nine minutes and 13 seconds on the clock? Kemba doesn't come back in until 7:19 on the clock. So 2 minutes later. I don't think there's much difference between the 2 minutes. So I disagree with how long Brad waited. Kemba played 35 minutes. Having him play 37 minutes, I wouldn't have waited that long. And maybe that would have changed the game. Maybe they would have won that game. They would have held on. Because at that point, Hayward still not hit. And Jaylen still at that point had four fouls. And Kemba being in the game changes the entire dynamic, because then Kemba's on the floor and Hayward's not in a position to be hit by McDermott, because the flow of the game has changed and he's not necessarily in that position. That's a hypothetical. That doesn't matter necessarily, but really, if you look at the trickle-down effect of everything, Kemba comes in a little bit earlier, the game changes. Like I said, Hayward's not necessarily in that spot. Maybe he's in a spot, something else happens in a different timeline, you know, a Rick and Morty timeline where you hit the portal gun and you go to that next timeline and, you know, Hayward's more seriously hurt or whatever. Like, you just don't know. You can't predict that. But I disagree with how that fourth quarter was handled. I didn't really agree with that opening lineup to start the fourth quarter. I didn't necessarily agree with when the timeout should have been called, and I didn't agree with when Kemba Walker came in. I think that could have been handled differently. However, like I said, back-to-back, the Celtics played the Sixers, so I think Brad might have been a little bit more disciplined, I guess, in or judicious in how he used Kemba in that moment. So he chose not to. And I guess we'll see how that pays off. But I don't think in that moment, especially with 5 days off coming up and knowing that these guys are going on Friday to have a film session Friday morning, to do some lifting, and then to leave and go wherever they want to go and have Friday, basically the rest of Friday off, to have Saturday off, to have Sunday off, and then come back Monday ready to practice. So I disagree with how Brad Stevens handled that fourth quarter, the first part of the fourth quarter. And the way the Pacers were playing and the way the two Holidays were playing and the way that bench was playing against the Celtics, I can't say that that would have won them the game. It would have changed the game somehow, but I can't say for sure that would have won them the game. But you'll hear next Jaylen Brown say that he probably would have, because he would have been out on the floor. I'm going to play you sound from each of the people, the three players and the coach that talked, so you can hear in their own words what these guys had to say. That's next on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
I open up every show telling you I work for Mass Live and I cover the team. I travel with the team. I'm here in Indianapolis recording this podcast. So I think I probably need to share more of some of the things that I get for you to listen to. And part of that is the post-game sound. And I think it's valuable for you to hear in their own voices, so you can hear inflection and tone and context, because I can write what I write, but if you're reading something, you're implying your own context, your own tone to it. So I might as well share as much of this sound as I can so you can get a sense of what these guys said. So let's start with Gordon Hayward. Here's Gordon Hayward talking about the injury that he suffered in this game.
Gordon, what do you remember about what happened on the play?
Just got hit in the nose and, you know, immediately couldn't really see much and felt pretty dizzy. And, you know, I think because of that, I had to come back here and go through the concussion thing and, you know, make sure that everything's okay. I mean, I still have a pretty good headache right now, but hopefully by tomorrow it should be good. So we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Did you break your nose?
No, did not break my nose, which is good. So, no, didn't break my nose.
So what did you see?
Concussion test tomorrow, is that what you're
Yes.
saying?
Okay. Yes.
But as of now, you are not in the protocol?
I don't believe so, no. I mean, we filled out some of the forms, but we'll see how it goes tomorrow, and hopefully everything's back to normal.
Still not out of the woods. Still will get concussion testing in the morning. So by the time you listen to this podcast, there may be an update on Gordon Hayward's availability. We'll see if he's available to play against the 76ers. I just spent the second segment kind of saying that Brad Stevens, I disagreed with some of what he did. Here's Brad Stevens after the game explaining the Kemba thing and when he came in and talking about the turning point in this game.
Yeah, I thought the story of the game was their second unit dominated us both stints tonight and really gave them great lift. And they did a great job of moving it, playing together, making the right play, accentuating each other's strengths. They really played well together.
The foul discrepancy, was that them just using their inside strength, or was it?
Some of our fouls were, probably could clean up a little bit. Some of them are going to happen because of their inside strength. Some of the perimeter fouls were not very good.
What did Jaylen give you just with the way he was passing the ball tonight?
Yeah, Jaylen had a pretty good night on that. I mean, he was moving it, scored it. Yeah, made a lot of plays.
When Kemba's going like that, is there ever a temptation to bring back Miller on the fourth, or how do you decide when?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I think that we've got to – obviously, I want him in right away. But, he had played all the way to the 1:30 mark of the third, and So you're balancing that with, you know, making sure he's fresh when he comes back in. And sometimes when you got that, you know, you've carried the load the whole night for the team, you need a little bit more of a break. So I thought when we came back in and it was a 2 or 4 point lead for us, whatever it was, you know, I think you'll take that based on how the second quarter went. And, you know, again, he gave us a chance tonight.
How much more difficult does that make the game tomorrow night?
No impact on tomorrow night. We have to be ready to play against a really good team tomorrow night.
Talk about the second unit, their second unit. Why couldn't your second unit respond?
I don't know if it was all of our second unit. I think it was just when they were out there, no matter who we had out there, we got beat. So I just think that obviously those guys have been playing well all year. They've been really you know, McConnell's been probing all over the place and finding shooters, and tonight I thought he did a really good job of that. They upped the pressure defensively, turned us over. We had a couple of live ball turnovers that lead to layups. Those are killers. You know, it's what we saw on film coming in. When they get you spread out with those skilled guys and with those all those guys playing together and off of each other, they're really good.
Kemba Walker is a soft-spoken guy. And you can hear in his voice the disappointment, and you can hear just how much he is struggling with the loss. And it's kind of it's interesting to see his personality. He hates losing. He's already a soft-spoken guy anyway, and you can tell just by his voice that it's bugging him. Here's Kemba Walker after the game.
Kemba, season high, 44 out of you. You had 39 through the first three quarters. Can you just explain the rhythm that you felt out there?
Sorry. I missed that. Could you say it again?
I felt pretty good, I guess, but it really don't matter. You know, we lost, so, yeah.
5 points in the fourth quarter, did they change what they were doing, or did you feel like you just weren't able to connect on some of the shots you were making?
Yeah, I just wasn't able to connect. I just missed. You know, I took some good ones, maybe a few ones that weren't so good. Just missed.
How were they able to force those turnovers in the fourth quarter?
They just collapsed the paint. They did a good job collapsing the paint, and, you know, we were just making silly passes, I think. You know, get in the air, you know, just putting ourselves in trouble. And they were just taking advantage of it.
Getting into highlights with Brad, how you're feeling, like when you're cooking like that, and then you come out for a sustained rest, is there a discussion like, hey, man, I feel great, or you just kind of go with it?
Just go with it. Yeah. I'm easy.
Can you explain, like, some of the mental. I don't know, was it a mental lapse or something like that? I mean, you're going so good in the third quarter, and then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, things get so sloppy. Is it something like letting the foot off the gas, or what happens in that situation?
I wish I could tell you. I really do. I don't know. I guess they just wanted it more, you know? At least before watching the film, that's just what it feels like, you know? To me, they just wanted it more, and we didn't.
Obviously, it was a kind of scramble situation, but what did you see on the last play? It looked like he thought they may have got a fingertip on it or something.
Yeah, I thought he did. But obviously, he didn't. I thought he hit the ball. But, yeah.
How'd you feel about kind of looking at that situation?
I just knew I had to get something up. It was a tough shot, you know, but it had no chance. Yeah.
And here's Jaylen Brown talking about the fouls and how that impacted the Celtics play and his play and just his general impression of how things turned against the Celtics down the stretch.
Jaylen, did you know as soon as you touched him on the sixth foul?
Yeah, that was just a dumb play by me. Good play by Brogdon. Smart play by him. It was just a dumb play by me.
What were they doing to get you in foul trouble in the first place?
I think they set the tone for the game. They were a physical team, and we didn't match it, and we were trying to play from behind, and then the refs were just calling the game accordingly. We got to do a better job of setting the tone, physicality. especially we a small team. You know what I mean? We got to do a better job of playing physical without fouling. And once they start calling and blowing the whistle, it just was contagious. I think everybody was in foul trouble. I think that's like one of my first times being in foul trouble in a long time. So just got to come out, adjust to it. It happens. Unfortunate. I think we could have won that game if I stayed in it. But on to the next.
How much does a game like this help for that Philly team who plays a similar physicality type of basketball?
It's good. I think it's a good test for us. We knew that coming into, obviously wanted to win tonight, but we got to focus on tomorrow. We got even more of a test. Sabonis is, you know, physical, but Embiid is even more physical, especially an aggressive Embiid. So we got to rotate, and I think, you know, playing on our home floor, we get an extra bit of energy, extra kick. You know, our team, our fans get behind us. I think we'll be all right.
How much did frustration, maybe with some of the fouls or whatever, play into those lapses in the beginning and the second and the fourth?
Yeah, the Florida game was a little bit off and slow. They blew the whistle a lot. Not here to comment on whatever happens. Like I said, we should have did a better job of setting the tone of physicality, and we didn't. So we let, you know, the officiating get involved too much for us, and we got behind. Even though we still had every chance to win this game, I feel like, but the game was just slow. We got to get stops and get up and down the floor, and we didn't really do that today.
Celtics play the 76ers now Thursday at the Garden, and then 5 days off. So the next podcast you get from me is post game against the Sixers. That'll be the Friday podcast. I am here for you Monday through Friday for a free daily podcast. So if you are a new listener, first of all, thank you. Hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I am here for you with sometimes with different guests with me, but always here for you at least after games and to give you my thoughts. So please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, however you're listening, or if you're not listening, if you're listening through Twitter or something like that, you can still follow at LO Celtics on Twitter and get the show tweeted out. That's a fine way to listen, or you can just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All of you regular listeners, you know how much I appreciate you. I've met a lot of you on the road. That is especially fun because you Celtics fans, you are everywhere. So in every city that I go to, invariably, there is somebody who listens to the podcast and says hi. I love that. I love that. So please, if you see me wandering around on the floor or somewhere in the arena and you're a listener, say hi, tweet at me, say, hey, I'm in this section, come say hi. I will do my very best to do so. Or just come down and whatever, take a picture. I love it. I absolutely love it. I would also love it if you give me a 5-star rating and a good written review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, because that helps more people decide to listen to the show. So do that and share the podcast. Spread the word. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.